بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، after praising Allah and after asking him to raise the rank of the finest of his creation, our messenger Muhammad, and that of his family and companions, and to grant them all an abundance of peace, we begin this evening the afternoon of the 21st day of Jumada Athaniya, the year 1436, a Friday afternoon shortly before Salat al-Maghrib. We return back to Surah Al-Waqi'ah, with our reading from the tafsir of the great scholar Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him. And we read this and explain it for our brothers on Mirath Radio in Saudi Arabia and for those who listen in worldwide. And we are local here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. May Allah Ta'ala bless the radio station, the masjid, all of those who support and attend both. Beginning where we left off 2 weeks ago, on the 7th of Jumada Athaniya, we read the first 12 verses of Surah Al-Waqi'ah with their explanation from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Saleh. And now we continue with verse number 13, ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ ثُلَّةٌ is a word that has to do with a lot, and a large amount of people from the awwalin, from the earlier ones, or from the forerunners. قِيلْ إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِذَلِكَ الْأُمَمَ السَّابِقَةِ Shaykh Muhammad ibn Saleh al-Uthaymeen says, it's been said that the meaning of that is the previous nations. The previous nations, the awwalin. Who are these awwalin, these first forerunners or first forthcoming people? Not forthcoming, but people who have already come. So he mentions, it's been said, in one opinion, that they are the previous nations, meaning the followers of the previous prophets. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنَ الْآخِرِينَ And a smaller number, or a small number, of the latecomers. الْآخِرِينَ يعني أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. And this opinion that the Shaykh is going to discuss and actually refute is that the nation of Muhammad, the followers of Muhammad, they are a small number. They are being referred to here as the smaller number. وعلى هذا القول, he said, based on this opinion, تكون قلة هذه الأمة باعتبار كثرة الأمم السابقة. Then the small amount or the small nature of this ummah, how this ummah is small, is in comparison to the many numbers of the followers of the previous nations. Right? وليس المعنى أن الذين يدخلون الجنة من الأمم السابقين باعتبار كل نبي أكثر من الذين يدخلون الجنة من هذه الأمة. And it does not mean, on that opinion, even though the Shaykh does not choose this opinion, he says, in that opinion, for those who hold that opinion, it does not mean that our being less in number is based on the people in paradise, but rather based on the actual number of people who are ascribed to that prophet's ummah, to that prophet's following. Now, from the people who are ascribed to a prophet's following, there are those who go to paradise and there are those who go to hell. So here's the reality. The Shaykh is saying, according to that opinion, it doesn't mean we'll be few in terms of paradise, but it's that we are few in this world compared to the large numbers of followers of the previous nations and followers. And he says that's the first opinion. وَقِيلْ أَلْمُرَادُ بِالْأَوَّلِينَ أَوَّلُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ And it's been said that the أَوَّلِين here, the early ones, they are the first people from this ummah. They are the first part of this ummah, this nation. أي ثُلَّةٌ مِنْ أَوَّلِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ Meaning a large amount of people from the very first parts of this ummah. وقليل من آخرها. تفضل. And a small number from the latter part of this ummah. That is the meaning of the verse. That's the second opinion. And he says, وَهَذَا الْقَوْلُ هُوَ الصَّحِيحُ. He said, in this second opinion, this is what is correct. بَلْ هُوَ الْمُتَعَيَّنُ. And moreover, it's actually what must be identified as the correct choice. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ. Because the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them peace, he said, إِنِّي لَأَرْجُ or إِنِّي أَرْجُ أَن تَكُونُوا شَطْرَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. I have hopes that you will all be one half of the people of paradise. شَطْر أي نِصْفَهُمْ, meaning half of them, نِصْف. The word شَطْر in Arabic means نِصْف, half. And we're on verse number 13, huh? And 14 from Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Half of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith, which was collected by both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began by asking the companions, would you be pleased to know that you are one-fourth of the people of paradise? Meaning his followers will be one-fourth of all of the people in paradise. And they said, yes, they would be happy to know that. Then he said, would you be pleased to know that you are one-third of the people in paradise? And they said, yes. And then he said this statement, and I have hopes, I believe that you will be one-half of the people of paradise. And that's an authentic hadith. Another hadith that the Shaykh mentions here, وَفِي حَدِيثٍ آخَرٍ, in another hadith, إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ مِئَةٌ وَعِشْرُونَ صَفَّةٌ. Verily, the people of paradise, there are 120 rows. 120 rows of people. Right? Allah knows best how long the rows are. But there are 120 rows. مِنْهُمْ ثَمَانُونَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. And of those rows, on the Day of Judgment, 80 of them are from this ummah. The ummah, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that hadith was collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and it is considered to be hasan, authentic, and Sheikh al-Albani called it sahih, authentic, number 2546 in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, or Jami' al-Tirmidhi. So, perhaps there's a need to bring them together. We have one hadith saying that we're half the people of paradise, the ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be half of the people of paradise. May Allah make us from them. Another hadith, authentic as well, saying that we are 80 rows, or that the ummah of Muhammad is 80 rows, and we ask Allah to be among them on this day. 80 rows out of 120 rows of people on the Day of Judgment. So how do we put them together? Anyone have an idea? Yeah, it's two-thirds. 80 out of 120 is two-thirds. So one narration is saying a half, the other narration is saying two-thirds. How can we put them together? Anyone know? We are half in terms of numbers. Two-thirds in terms of the rows. And we don't know how many are in the rows. And we don't know that the rows are equal in number. We have not been told that these rows are equal in number. We've been told there are 120 rows. That's all. We have not. We have assumed that they're equal in number. And that's why we said two-thirds. Because 80 out of 120 is two-thirds. That would be based on if they were equal in number. And remember, these are affairs of the hereafter, affairs of the unknown. We can't make an assumption like that. That since there are 120 rows, each row is equal in number. Right? That would be a bad assumption to make about the hereafter. There are 120 rows, and that's why I said when I introduced the idea, Allah knows best how many people are in each row. Right? Tayyib, so we're half of, I keep saying we, and why I keep correcting that is, it's as if I'm saying we're in Jannah. Wali'adhu billah, right? The ummah of Muhammad is half of the people in Jannah. And I say, may Allah make us from those. As a hope and as a prayer. Not as we are half of the people of paradise. Us and some other people. Wallahu musta'an. The ummah of Muhammad, may Allah make us from them on the Day of Judgment. They are half of the people of paradise in number. And in terms of the rows, they are 80 rows out of 120 rows of people. And Allah knows best how many people are in each of those rows. Right? Tayyib. وَعَلَى هَذَا, the Shaykh goes on to say, and based on this, لا يصح أن نقول قليل من هذه الأمة. That it's not correct to say a small number from this ummah, وكثير من الأمم السابقة, versus a large number of the previous followers of the previous prophets, right? Because that would contradict his explanations in these authentic hadiths. بل نقول, rather what we say is ثلة أي كثير. ثلة means a lot, right? A lot of people من هذه الأمة, from this ummah. من أوليها, from the very first part of this ummah. And of course, where is that? The companions and the salaf, the tabi'un, the students of the tabi'un, the early first three generations. That's the first part of the ummah. And that makes sense if you've been hearing in our aqidah all of the praise of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the early Muslims, for the sahaba, for the ansar, for the muhajirin, for the tabi'in and their students, the first generations, right? These are called as-salaf as-salih. They are the very, you know, the core of the ummah, right, in the beginning. So that makes sense that the largest number of followers is coming from those people, those who have been praised heavily by the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ آخِرِهَا. And there are a small number of people in paradise from the latter part of the ummah. عَلَى سُرُرٍ مَوْضُونَ. They are upon surur. Surur. And the Shaykh says, Sururun jam'u sarir. It's the plural of sarir, which is a mattress or bedding or padding. وَهُوَ مَا يَتَخِذُهُ الْإِنسَانُ لِلْجُلُوسِ وَالنَّوْمِ. It's what a person takes to relax, sitting in a relaxed way or for sleeping. So we're talking about mattresses or bedding here. Surur. مَوْضُونَ. مَوْضُونَ means, قَالَ الْعُلَمَاءُ, the scholars say, Mansujatun min dhahab, that it is woven or stitched with gold, stitched in gold. Muttaki'ina alayha, and they are relaxing back on them, on these beddings or these cushions and so on. Ay mu'tamidina ala aydihim wa ala dhuhurihim, they are leaning back with their hands and with their backs on these beds or these paddings. فَهُمْ فِي رَاحَةٍ فِي الْيَدِ وَفِي الظَّهَرِ. So their arms are relaxed, their backs are all relaxed, leaning on these cushions. مُتَقَابِلِينَ. مُتَقَابِلِينَ meaning facing each other. أَيْ يُقَابِلُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. They are looking one at another. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى سَاعَةِ الْمَكَانِ. And this shows or proves that the place is very big, that the place where they are sitting is a very big place. لِأَنَّ الْمَكَانَ إِذَا كَانَ ضَيِّقًا لَا يُمْكِنُ أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. If the place is restricted and small, then it's not possible for the people to all be facing each other. It's not possible for them to all face each other. لِأَنَّ وهذه الآية, and this verse, تدل على أن الأمكنة واسعة وهو كذلك. And this proves that those places being described here in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, in the paradise, they are vast, large places. And that's the reality of those places. ولهذا كان أدنى أهل الجنة منزلة من ينظر في ملكه ألفي عام. And thus, the one who has the least position in paradise, the lowest rank in paradise, when he looks at his dominion, or what he owns, and what is his property therein, he will be able to see for 2,000 years. I mean, 2,000 years of travel, all of that is the possessions of the lowest in rank. And that is established from, or that is attributed to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from a hadith in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, and the Jami' of At-Tirmidhi as well. However, it seems to be that this is more properly attributed to Abdullah ibn Umar, which doesn't affect the discussion very much, because if we said this is the speech of Abdullah ibn Umar by way of the chain, then what are we going to say about that in effect? Is that this is not something that Abdullah ibn Umar would rationalize and come up with as an opinion, talking about the people of paradise and what they will see. It's something that the companions understood from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be an issue of the unseen that they would not speak about except with something from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even though the criticism of its chain ends at attributing this more correctly to the speech or to Ibn Umar as his speech and not to the Messenger as a hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the end the scholars say about this kind of report, حُكْمُهُ حُكْمُ الرَّفَعُ, that it takes the ruling of being something heard from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since the companions would have no way for the majority of the companions, not those who are known for taking from Ahlul Kitab, taking from the Jews and the Christians and what they had said about their previous messages. And Abdullah ibn Umar, to the best of my knowledge, was not from them. So in this case, they would say this is from something that Abdullah ibn Umar must have heard from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen considers it authentic here, as he uses it to establish his point that what? Lowest ranking person in paradise will be able to look to his dominion of what he owns with, and he'll see it as being as expansive as 2 years' journey, or two, I'm sorry, 2,000 years' journey. Did I say 2 years' journey? 2,000 years' journey, huh? Al-Fay'am, 2,000 years. يَنْظَرُ أَقْصَاهُ كَمَا يَنْظَرُ أَدْنَاهُ. And he will see in paradise the kind of vision that people have. He will see the furthest point of it just as he sees what is as close to him, the closest point to him, right? Remember, in terms of the clarity of vision, that in the hereafter we will see Allah. In this life, we could not bear that. And not only will we see Allah in the hereafter with real vision and real sight, but we will see Him with the clarity that we see the full moon in this life. So in terms of vision in the hereafter, just like everything else, there's a perfect state of vision, a perfect state of seeing something. So a person will see for 2,000 miles of travel, just as he sees what's directly in front of him. We will not have the limits that we had in this worldly life on our faculties. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. And Allah is fully capable of above all matters. Wal jannatu arduha ka'ardi samawati wal ard. And paradise, its expansiveness is as broad as the heavens and the earth, or the width of the heavens and the earth, all of the heavens, all of the what you see above you, and all of the earth. Paradise, its width is like that. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ عَفْوَانُ وَمَنْ يُحِيطُ بِسَّمَاءٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. And who is it that can encompass or comprehend exactly what is in only one of those heavens? Right? كَيْفَ وَهِيَ عَرْضُ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبَعِ. Then think about the paradise, and it is as expansive as all seven heavens, all seven layers of the heavens. وَسَمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ بَعْضُهَا مِنْ فَوْقِ بَعْضٍ. And the seven heavens, they are one layer on top of the next. وَكُلَّمَا كَانَ الشَّيْءُ فَوْقَ كَانَتْ دَائِرَتُهَا أَوْسَعُ. And in the paradise, every time something is higher, another level higher, it is a more expansive and a broader place. Subhanallah. فَمَنْ يُحِيطُ بِهَذَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So who could encompass or know about all of this expansive kingdom except Allah the Mighty and Majestic? إِذَنْ هُمْ مُتَقَابِلُونَ لِأَنَّ أَمْكِنَتَهُمْ وَاسِعًا. Then they are facing each other because the places where they dwell, they are vast, large, wide, open spaces. وَلِأَنَّ لَدَيْهِمْ مِنْ كَمَالِ الْأَدَبِ مَا لَا يُمْكِنُ أَنْ يَسْتَدْبِرَ أَحَدُهُمُ الْآخَرِ. And as well, they face each other because they are in paradise, of course, with the very best of manners and interactions with each other. Right? So, that which would stop them from turning their backs on each other. كُلُّهُمْ مُؤَدَّبُونَ. Each and every one of them is of the best manners, of the best character. كُلُّهُمْ قُلُوبٌ صَافِيَةٌ. And each of the inhabitants of paradise have purified hearts, or hearts of purity. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah the Most High has said, and this answers the question, like when the Shaykh says this, you might think right away, okay, we'll be in paradise with all of our Muslim brothers, and look how often we clash with them, and look how often we might dislike the company of one of our own Muslim brothers. So I have to be in paradise with them. You might start thinking of something negative, right? However, look at this and understand what the brotherhood in paradise is going to be. وَنَزَعْنَا ما في صدورهم من غل إخوانا على سرر متقابلين. And we have plucked from their chests everything of hatred or rancor. And they are brothers, إخوانا, relaxing back on bedding, facing each other, right? So now this verse shows you that the people of paradise have been purified. And this description that Allah Ta'ala mentions here, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلِّ, we have taken out from their chests every type of rancor. This is a description of the people of paradise. So there's a great benefit to be gained from that verse, is that the people of paradise were not free of ghil in this life. They were not free of having some rancor in their hearts in this life. There was no perfect brotherhood in this life. It's not expected for the people who make it to paradise. They are the ones who are perfect in this life. And they had absolutely clean chests and perfect interactions. But rather, the people of paradise, they had some rancor in their hearts in this dunya. Right? That's natural and you can't get away from it. But in the paradise, all of that is removed. And this also answers a number of other questions. Some people have said, like, we understand from our aqidah that a person can be on innovation or disobedience. And the Muslims can hate him for that disobedience or that innovation. Yet he hasn't left Islam. So essentially, if he remains upon this, Allah may choose to forgive him and put him in paradise along with those who did not have his innovation or his disobedience. So wouldn't that mean in the paradise there's going to be people that we used to hate for certain actions they did, and now we're in paradise sharing the place, the same place with them? Here, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. We have removed from their hearts all of the rancor that would be there. Right? So then it's pure, absolutely pure brotherhood. Another benefit from this verse is that we should have realistic expectations with our brotherhood in this life. If we realize that the people of paradise shall have the rancor plucked from their chests when they're in paradise, that means we should not be shocked or heavily disappointed to find that our Muslim brother has a problem with us in a matter. Because that's the nature of this dunya. We are flawed in this dunya and our relationships are flawed in this worldly life. It is the hereafter where we are not flawed and our relationships are not flawed. Tayyib, so oftentimes you find a Muslim, he is astonished. He says, I cannot believe my brother oppressed me. I cannot believe he treated me, you know, with the bad treatment. And you find him like almost depressed. Like, I thought the Muslims were supposed to do this and this, and he's expecting from them, he's expecting from his brothers perfect treatment based on what we are required, what we are expected, what we are ordered to do with each other, right? And we fall short all of the time, just as we fall short in how we treat other people, they are constantly falling short in how they treat us as well. And this is the nature of the dunya. And if, and I, as I've said before, as a point of advice, for those of you who wish for the perfect brotherhood, with, you know, to find a companion that you are perfectly in line with and in tune with, and there's nothing in your heart against him and he has nothing in his heart against you, then prepare for paradise. Work for paradise, because that's where that brotherhood is. That brotherhood doesn't exist in this life, right? You can try to get close to that kind of brotherhood, but we're flawed. Our hearts are flawed, our interactions are flawed, and so on. So tremendous benefits from this understanding that in the hereafter, the hearts are pure, the hearts have been purified by Allah Ta'ala. The rancor and things that exist in the chest, one for another, these are removed. And we have, the people of paradise will have the very best of manners. وَلِهَذَا نَهَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنَ التَّدَابُرِ. And thus, in this life, the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them peace, he forbid us from turning our backs on one another. He forbid us from turning our backs from one another. Out of manners, if you are speaking to your brother, you face him and you give him, you know, your full attention. If you are turning away from him, then you don't expect to speak to him or to have a conversation, as the Shaykh is going to explain. He says here, وتدابر يشمل التدابر القلبي بحيث يكون كل واحد متجها إلى وجه. It includes the turning away from each other within the hearts, that you are turned away by your emotions or by within your hearts from each other. وتدابر البدني. It also includes the physical, you know, turning your back on someone as well. إِلَّا عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ أَوِ الضَّرُورَةِ, except in times of necessity or extreme cases when that is necessary. And the Salaf exemplified for us that people of innovation, for example, when they come to you, they used to say, turn your backs on them, right? Let the people of innovation find some difficult behavior in you. Let them find some harshness in you. No problem, as that is something that helps them correct themselves, and it helps you protect your ears and your input, or your, you know, what you learn and what you listen to from the deviation that they carry. Subhanallah. وَإِلَّا فَمَتَى أَمْكَنَ التَّقَابُلُ فَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ. And otherwise, in normal situations, whenever you are able to face each other in your interactions, then this is always best. فَلَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدًا يُكَلِّمُكَ وَقَدْ وَلَّاكَ ظَهْرَهُ. So for example, think of someone who's talking to you, but he's turned his back to you. هَلْ يَكُونُ سَمَاعُكَ لَهُ. Are you really listening to him if he has his back to you and he's talking? وَمَحَبَّتُكْ لَهُ. How is your love for him? How is your hearing, or you're listening to what he's saying, and how is your love for him as a person? كَمَا لَوْ كَانَ يُحَدِّثُكَ مُسْتَقْبِلًا إِيَّاكَ. Is it the same as if he was talking to you face to face, as he turned around and faced you face to face? Obviously, not. وَهَذَا شَيْءٌ مُشَاهَدْ مَعْلُومٌ. This is something that you can be witnessed, and it is something well known. فَأَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ عَلَى سُرُرٍ مَوْضُونَةٍ. So the people of paradise are sitting upon mattresses woven with gold. مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَيْهَا مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Leaning back, relaxing on them, and facing each other. وَفِي حَالَ الْإِتِّكَاءِ. And at this, during this situation, during this posture of leaning back, relaxing back on these padded cushions, يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ, going into the 17th verse, يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ. Then going about them are boys of eternal age, servant boys of eternal age. الْوِلْدَانُ جَمْعُ وَلَدْ أو جَمْعُ وَلِيدْ. The word وِلْدَان is the plural of وَلَدْ, which is a boy, or the plural of وَلِيدْ, which is also another word for a boy. كَغِلْمَان. Like the word غِلْمَان is the plural for the word غُلَام, and that also means boy. غِلْمَان means boys, and غُلَام means a boy. يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ يَتَرَدَّدُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Meaning there's someone going back and forth, serving you, or serving the people of paradise, going back and forth to them, bringing them their needs, or bringing them their, we won't say needs, bringing them their wishes, their desires. وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ. Boys of eternal age. أَيْ خُلِقُوا لِيُخَلَّدُوا. They have been created to be eternal. Created to be eternal. وَهُمْ غُلْمَانُ وَغِلْمَانٌ شَبَابٌ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. These are young men, and if you would see them, then you would consider them to be scattered pearls. Meaning if you would see a large number of them in a big area, you would consider them to be like pearls that have been tossed out and scattered out, meaning in their beauty and in their appearance. لِجَمَالِهِمْ, the Sheikh says, due to their beauty. وَصَفَائِهِمْ, due to their purity. وَكَثْرَتِهِمْ, and their great number. So scattered pearls are many in number as well. وَانْتِشَارِهِمْ فِي أَمْلَاكِ أَسْيَادِهِمْ, and the way they are spread out in the property or the dominion of their owners or their masters, the ones that they are serving. إِذَا رَأَيْتُهُمْ أَيْ, and if you see them, this means إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْوِلْدَانِ, if you see these boys. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْوِلْدَانُ تَحْسِبُهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. So if it is that you see the servant boys as if they are scattered pearls, فَكَيْفَ بِالسَّادَةِ, so then what about when you see those they're serving? What if when you see the masters or the owners of these servant boys? أَعْظَمْ وَأَعْظَمْ, even greater and even greater. These are the actual people of paradise. Just before going on, I'll mention here that some of the Salaf considered that the children of the polytheists who die in their youth without having a chance to express their own beliefs or opinions, so we're talking about infants who die and young children who die without being able to hold their own opinions yet, Generally, that's understood to be before the age of about seven. That's called temyiz, when they begin to have their own positions and opinions on things. There are some of the Salaf who said, "Hum khadamu ahlul jannah." They are the servants of the people of paradise, right? So they're in paradise, and they're the servants of the people of paradise. And that has even been mentioned as a hadith from our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that awladul mushrikeen hum khadamu ahlul jannah. The children of the polytheists, they are the servant boys of the people of paradise, right? And this has been discussed by Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani in his Silsila al-Sahiha, where he came to the conclusion that this is an authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And a number of scholars as well did not accept that as a narration, but that is the source of why someone would say in the hereafter, the children of the polytheists who died young, they shall be the servants of the people in paradise. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Our Shaykh goes on to explain the 18th verse. بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقَ وَكَأْسٍ مِّن مَعِينٍ. And they will go about holding أكواب. أكواب هي عبارة عن كؤوس لها عرى. أكواب is a plural word that means cups, right? Cups that have handles. Cups that have handles. An عروة. You ever heard the word urwa? The urwa is the handhold. It's a place where you hold it. So some cups have one on the side, like our modern coffee cups. There's a handle on the side, or teacups. And there are more old-fashioned cups where the handle is where? Under the place that holds the drink. So like a wine glass today, right? Where you hold it is under. So like what they call a chalice. Yeah? So either case, that's called an urwa, whether it's on the side and you hold it from the side, or it's on the bottom and you hold it from the bottom, either way that's called an urwa. So the first description of these boys is that they're carrying akwab, right? Cups that have handles. Wa abariq are pitchers, larger things for serving, and they also have handles, like your modern pitcher. As the Shaykh says, well, abariq aydan awani laha ura. These pitchers, these abariq, they are also containers that have handles as well. Wa ka'sin min ma'in. And a cup of ma'in. Laysa lahu urwa. Here, the ka's, the Shaykh says, here, this kind of cup does not have a handle. And there are some cups that you know, like our drinking glasses, that don't have handles. So in the paradise as well, there are some cups or glasses that do not have handles, and he says that's what's meant here by ka'sin min ma'in. Laysa lahu urwa. Qawluhu min ma'in. It's from ma'in. What's this meaning? It's from ma'in. Ma'in means basically a spring, something that keeps gushing forth. Ma'in, coming from the ayn. Ayn is a spring. So ma'in means something that continually gushes. Right? Min ma'in. And the Shaykh says, min khamrin ma'in. What this is understood to be is intoxicants or wine, right? That gushes forth continually, right? How do we know that? The very next verse, verse number 19. La yusadda'una anha wa la yunzifun. Right? It doesn't cause any headaches, nor does it cause any interruption to your intellect. So no headaches, no pain, and no interruption of the use of your faculties, as opposed to the alcoholic beverages of this life, which contain both harmful elements. As the Shaykh says, يَعَنِي لَا يُوجَعُ بِهَا الرَّأْسِ. The person doesn't get a headache from them, from this glass of ma'in, let's say wine that has gushed forth. وَلَا يُنْزَفُ بِهَا الْعَقَلِ. And the intellect is not distracted or weakened. بِخِلَافِ خَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا. In opposition to, or in contrast to, the alcoholic beverages of this life. فَإِنَّهَا تُؤْلِمُ الرَّأْسِ. These cause headaches. وَتُذْهِبُ الْعَقَلِ. And they take a person's intellect away with drunkenness. Then the Shaykh says, with the next verse, the verse number 20, وَفَاكِهَةٍ, and a fruit, right? وَفَاكِهَةٍ مَعْطُوفَةٌ عَلَى قَوْلِهِ بِأَكْوَابٍ. It is, تفضل, it has been mentioned afterwards and connected to the phrase بأكواب. تفضل. Go on and, yeah, one of these two, have a seat. Sorry about that. The boys, the servant boys of paradise, they will be walking around serving their masters in the paradise with what? With the cups, the pitchers, the glasses of wine that do not cause harm, nor do they intoxicate, and as well, بفاكهة وفاكهة, and as well, fruits. Right? من ما يتخيرون, from whatever the people are wishing for or seeing as something good. Whatever the people desire because of the goodness of that fruit. أي ويطوف عليهم الولدان بفاكهة مما يتخيرون. One chair left for you, Sheikh Sadiq, right there. حياكم الله. So they will be going around them with these fruits, you know, passing out these fruits from what they wish for, what they view as being the very best. لطيبها منظرا, due to these fruits, how good they are and how good they look. وطيبها مشما, how good they smell. وطيبها مأكلا, and how good they taste. وهذه الفاكهة طيبة, these fruits are good and wholesome. في منظرها, and in the way they look. وطيبة في رائحتها, في رائحتها, and they are pure and wholesome in the way they smell. وطيبة في مأكلها ومذاقها, and they are wholesome in the way they taste and the way they are consumed. لأن الله قال, because Allah has said, مما يتخيرون, from the kinds of fruit that they would choose. والإنسان لا يعاف الشيء إلا لقبح منظره, and a person does not dislike a kind of food, except because of the way it looks. It doesn't look nice. أو لقبح رائحته, or because it doesn't smell nice. أو لقبح مأكله, or because it has a very bad taste. والفاكهة في الجنة طيبة في لونها, and the fruits that are in paradise are good in the way, in their color. وحجمها, in their size. وريحها, and in their smell. ومذاقها, and in their taste. Sheikh, we're on the 20th verse of Al-Waqi'ah. وسبحان الله يؤتون, or يؤتون بها متشابهة في اللون والحجم والرائحة. And exalted be Allah, the people of paradise will be brought these fruits in similar colors, shapes, and smells. The Shaykh is referring to that verse which is in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا, every time the people of paradise get some rizq, some food or provisions from it, meaning the paradise, مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ, here, of fruit. قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقُنَا مِنْ قَبَلٍ, they'll say, this is the same thing we were given before, meaning it resembles what they had been given before. وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا, and they will be brought its likes, or something that is very similar to it. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, and they will have wives of purity therein in the paradise, and they shall abide therein forever. So they'll be brought these fruits one after the next, resembling the last one they ate, but having some difference, right? لكن في المذاق مختلفة, the Shaykh says. They will be different. There will be a difference in their taste. وهذا مما يزيد الإنسان فرحا وسرورا وإيمانا بقدرة الله عز وجل. And this is something that increases a person in his joy, in his happiness, and in his faith in the abilities or the capability of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And the last verse that we're going to look at today is the last thing mentioned, that these boys, these servant boys, will be bringing around to the people of paradise. وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, and the birds, and the meat from birds, from that which they crave, that which they really like as the best kind of choice meats. أَيَّ يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْوِلْدَانِ بِلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ, So these servant boys that have been mentioned will be going to them, serving them from this perhaps chicken, perhaps some kind of meat from, we have so much, how do you say that, meat or food that you get from birds.
Poultry,
that's the word, yeah, the word that encompasses all of that is poultry. Tayyib. So you have, in this dunya, think of the variety that you have. You have your heavier meats, like turkey. The heaviest being like ostrich, right? Which is, if you've eaten ostrich, it's almost like beef. It's red. It's almost like beef. However, they're saying it's very, very healthy because it's a bird. It's not a cow. Doctors, they say it's very, very healthy meat. It's for people who maybe they want to stay away from red meat because of their health or the doctor's advice. This is still a bird. It's still poultry. Yet it resembles the taste and resembles the appearance even of steak, you know. And it's not too expensive from what I know. All right? I just don't know, do we have any halal, the biha, you know, of the ostriches. We used to get that in Saudi Arabia. It was fantastic, yeah. Fantastic ostrich meat. Then you go from these big animals, the turkey, the ostrich, you get down to the doves and the pigeons, the smaller birds. We eat pigeons in Saudi Arabia. Everybody over here thinks it's nasty. But doves, what other birds? Sparrows, quails, ducks, yeah, all of these. And ducks, subhanAllah, duck is like a, they serve that in really fine restaurants. Duck, you know, is considered to be like a very high standard type of expensive meat. You could look at all the variety in birds, subhanAllah, and look at how the flavors are various, and people can tell the difference between turkey and chicken and dove or duck and so on, subhanAllah. And think of in paradise that these young servant boys will be coming around bringing us these meats from poultry. They use the word lahm in Arabic. In classical Arabic, the word lahm, the plural is luhum. It means the flesh of any animal or bird. Because here we have lahm, tayyir. We have the lahm from a bird. Mm-hmm. Right? But in modern day Arabic, in most places, from what I understand, the word lahm refers to beef. Specifically beef. So when you go into a restaurant and you order lahm, you're getting beef. You're getting something made of beef. But that's modern Arabic, not the classic Arabic. The classic Arabic, you have lahm on your body. You have meat on your body, right? Humans have lahm, birds have lahm, animals, all the animals have lahm. So here, lahm tayr means the meat of the poultry. Or would you use the word meat? The flesh, the...
It's poultry.
But what would you say, like, take this, the flesh of the poultry, right? No, tayyib. وَذَكَرَ لَحْمَ طَيِّرٍ. And Allah mentioned here the flesh of the poultry. لِأَنَّ لُحُومَ الطَّيِّرِ أَنْعَمُ أَلُّحُومِ وَأَلَذُّهَا. Because the flesh of poultry is the most delightful of all different meats and the most delicious of meat of all the meats. وَهَذَا الطَّيْرُ. He poses a question here. What about this bird? مِنْ أَيْنَ يَتَغَذَّى. Where is it getting its sustenance from? Where is this bird eating from? In paradise. The Shaykh says, Al-Jawabu laysa lana an nas'ala an hada. It's not for us to ask a question like this. Occasionally he asks the question just to show you that this is not the style of, the correct style of asking questions about the hereafter. He says, لِأَنَّ أُمُورَ الْغَيْبِ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نُؤْمِنَ بِهَا بِدُونِ سُؤَالٍ. Because as for the affairs of the hereafter or the unseen that Allah has allowed us to know about some of it, what's binding on us is that we believe in it, affirming it with belief, and that we don't ask questions about the details or how is that going to be the case. فَنَقُولُ إِن كَانَتْ هَذِهِ الطُّيُورُ تَحْتَاجُ إِلَى غِذَاءٍ فَمَا أَكْثَرُ مَا تَتَغَذَّى بِهِ. So if it is the case, to respond to that, if it is the case that these birds will eat and will go and search for food, then there will be plenty of food for them. لِأَنَّهَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Because they're in paradise. وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يَحْتَاجُ أَوْ لَا تَحْتَاجُ إِلَى غِذَاءٍ. And if it is the case that they don't have any need for any nourishment, فَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Then it is Allah that is above all things with capabilities. And with this, we will close for this evening, sending salat and salam on the finest of creation, the Messenger Muhammad, and upon his family and companions until the last day. And if there is a correction, a concern, or a question related to the things we studied today, they can be heard at this time. Any questions on the topic? طيب والله أعلم وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.